Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
It's that time of year. You gotta figure out what to get that special someone for the holidays. And if you're like me, that isn't easy. Well, let us help you make it a little easier. How about some Apple AirPods? You know we love those. And wait for it, it's free. From December 16th to the 20th, Himalaya will be giving away prizes like AirPods and Amazon gift cards every single day with a mystery grand prize worthy of joining. Simply download the Himalaya app in your app store and click on the holiday banner on the front page to enter, so you won't show up to your holiday party empty-handed. Also, please, you guys, come and join our team. We're doing a run, 5K fun run for F Cancer in Ventura, California on February 23rd, 2019. We'd love you to join our team. We're making very cute t-shirts that are for Housewives of True Crime. February 23rd, just Google F Cancer Ventura, California, and you will be directed to the runsignup.com form and type in our team, Housewives of True Crime. And since it is still the holidays, we are still giving away free swag, cute Housewives of True Crime sweatshirts. Just tag your friends, tell them why you love listening to us so they can also listen to us. And we're giving away a sweatshirt during the holidays. We've also teamed up with Beaded Bench and we're giving away a free pair of beautiful earrings. You guys are going to love them. Her stuff is dynamite. Check it out on Facebook and Instagram, Housewives of True Crime. Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by nine because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Hello, hello.
Hello.
And welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime. It's getting closer to Christmas, Gretchy.
Jingle, jingle.
Y'all present up?
No, I have so much to do still. It's like annoying.
I do too. So today we're drinking some warm, hot wine.
So festive.
It's so festive. It's a German thing. So I was thinking just to say clink, clink to your neighbors.
Tabitha likes to give me as much red wine as possible and see if I'm going to get a migraine.
And thankfully, you haven't yet.
I haven't. No, I haven't.
It's because I got the good stuff over here.
Yeah, she's got the good stuff.
Kane household.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today? Give me a little glimpse because I'm real excited. That was a breath.
A love story.
That was a real big breath. Okay, you're talking about a love story.
A love story.
Who doesn't love a good love story?
A love story.
Gone wrong. It's got to be gone wrong.
Gone wrong.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, Gretchy, your little love story, let me tell you about another love story.
Oh, tell me.
That happened this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So one of my children was at a sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
The other two, the oldest and the youngest, were home. And, you know, it's a weekend. And so we were like, hey, go watch some cartoons and we'll be down in a minute. And we locked our door.
Right.
Well, they couldn't find their elves. So they were real interested in finding their elves. And they kept knocking on the door. Can you help me find our elf? Can you help our friend our elf? And so we're like, just give us a minute. We're going to sleep for five more minutes. And we were not sleeping.
Right.
You know.
Door locked weekend. Got
it. Door locked weekend.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the master bedroom door, which happens to be on the second floor, and we have a balcony.
Yeah.
Opens.
How would they even get in there?
They scaled the outside of the wall somehow.
Oh my God.
Climbed over the railing onto the balcony into my bedroom, which I don't know why it wasn't locked, but that's never going to happen again.
Oh yeah.
And surprise.
And surprise.
Surprise.
Did you traumatize your children? Burn their eyes?
Listen. Thank the Lord Jesus that the curtains were closed. So they had to come through. Like I heard the door. And then so it was PG at that point.
Okay.
But Kyla was like, oh my God, Mom, your face is so funny. She's like, you were so surprised. I'm like, oh yeah, I was.
I hope you gave those little kids a talking to. Like, you know what? Mommy and Daddy's door is locked. Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
I just let it go, actually, because I was so worried.
Flustered.
I was very flustered.
I imagine.
That Sean and I just were like, holy shit, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, buzzkill.
For sure.
For sure. Well, you know, I was a victim of a crime this weekend.
You were?
Well, not this weekend, this week.
Well, you went to the police station.
I did.
Mm-hmm. You put it on Facebook.
Actually, and it's related to elves because I took myself to the dollar store to go buy some balloons for the arrival of the elf.
That's right.
That fucking elf. Okay?
Yes.
Such a love-hate relationship with that little shit. So anyways, yeah, went to the dollar store, bought some balloons and some other things. I get to the car. I realize I don't have my phone.
Did you hear in your EarPod how it goes out? You know, it goes like, meh.
Yeah, but I don't really pay attention.
Okay.
Okay, so I go back into the store and I have somebody, I'm like panicked and looking around for my phone and I ask if anybody has turned it in and they say no. And some nice lady offers to call my phone. A bunch of people are calling my phone and I hear a phone with my ring.
Oh.
Well, it's just a generic ring though. Like ring and then go off. Like no one said hello. I never heard anybody say like, hello, like they answered it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, someone has my phone. Motherfucker, somebody stole my phone. Someone stole my phone out of my pocket. I was violated. So get a new phone, blah, blah, blah. I'm on the cloud, you know, so fine. Right. So I decide I've been, you know, I need to report this to the police. So
Gretchen is an outstanding citizen.
Right. Also, I have a true crime podcast, and so I figure, you know, I should be accountable for this stuff, right? Set a good example. So I went to the police and waited for 2 hours for Deputy Ochoa to take my report. So he takes my report. And at the end, I say, okay, so, like, what's going to happen? And he's like, nothing.
Nothing's going to happen.
I'm like, so the only way basically somebody would be held accountable is if they are like busted for something else and they have a bunch of stolen phones. And he's like, well, only if you reported the serial number linked to your phone. I'm like, okay, well, I can go home and get it. Can I like email that to you or something? And he's like, no, actually, if you want to do that, then you need to come back and file a different report with a different deputy. Like I would have to wait all over again.
Oh my God. You know what? But I think if Gretchen had Officer Ochoa again, you might do it.
Oh,
because the only thing I know about the story is that Officer Achola, what's his name?
Yeah, Achola. Yeah, he has a career with Thunder Down Under.
Hot biscuit.
Yeah, he was. Really, he really was. He really was.
You should tell him. Maybe he should have a side gig at Thunder Down Under and we'll go see him.
Oh, my God. So I was like, well, no, I'm not doing that. So nothing is happening. But, you know, these people at the police department, I met some, you know, I spent some time there talking to the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
They were a real crack up. They felt real bad for me about my phone situation. This old man was like, you know, my pastor's email got hacked. They told him to, he's like, they told him to send him some Target gift cards. He's like, I was on my way to the store. And then something told me I should just call my pastor and make sure.
Oh my God, that is
and
so
he is
funny.
He is a volunteer police person, okay? These people that scam the old people. Okay, but let me get back to my phone. So life goes on. Mm-hmm. Get my new phone.
Mm-hmm.
Wasted a day of my life, much time. Then get a phone call. Oh, and spent $300 on a new phone, right? I had insurance, but it still costs you a load of money.
Yes.
Get a phone call from the dollar store. They found my phone.
Yes, they found your phone. Because nobody in the store brushed up against your little boobies and stole your
It's phone. Weird though, right? Okay, so here's my PSA for this though. If your phone is legit stolen, don't report it unless you have the serial number.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Tell me about your love story.
Oh,
about love after lockup.
Let's tell it. Okay, today I'm going to tell you about a love story that happened in 1988 in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, were they Mormons?
You know, I'm not sure of their religious affiliation, Tabitha, but I don't think so because it involves a bar.
Okay.
Okay.
I had a real fun time in Salt Lake City before. They have really fun
you
bars.
Did? I really have an affection for Utah, but I've only kind of driven through once.
Okay.
You know, there's some crazy real estate in Salt Lake City.
Oh, yeah.
It's much more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
Really? Tell me, how much is a house?
I mean, like a normal house is like $400,000.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some like a lot smaller houses for less, but I mean, there's also some $10 million homes in Salt Lake City.
I know.
Gorgeous homes. There's some rich mofos living in Utah.
Well, listen, we can do a whole nother podcast on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So back in 1987, Margie Danielson was a successful business owner. She owned her own cleaning business and she owned her own home. She was doing pretty well for herself, even though she was freshly divorced and now a single mother raising her three daughters. Margie says that her first marriage to her girl's father failed because they were just too young when they got married. But even though it didn't work out, Margie was a hopeless romantic. She liked to read romance novels and stuff like that. She's like, she probably watched the Hallmark Christmas Channel. Or Hallmark Channel, you know, watched all those Christmas movies. Are you on your fucking phone?
Sorry, I just was looking at
that. Can you pay attention?
I just wanted to see that snowman sweatshirt you told me about earlier. I actually can't believe it.
Yeah. Pretty funny, right?
Is it true?
Yeah, I think so. I saw it on multiple news sources.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay, so
you love the Hallmark Channel.
I don't love the Hallmark Channel. I don't get it at all. I just watched the movie Christmas at Dollywood with my husband because it was involving Dollywood, and I thought it was the worst movie ever. Except for the 5 minutes that Dolly Parton is in it. It's so corny. I don't get it. People are like obsessed with those movies.
Some people.
Some people.
Not me. I can't even watch TV, period. Hardly.
Yeah. I definitely not follow this. Okay. So, but you get what I'm saying. She probably loved that channel and she probably bought Hallmark cards. Do you ever buy people cards that say like mushy stuff?
Sometimes.
I never
but
do.
I'm not that mushy of a person. So It takes a lot out of me. Like, I have to think about it and then do it. It's not just something in my nature.
No. I mean, you know, more power to you if you are, but that's not me. That was Margie, though.
I like people that are like that.
You do? It kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Of course it does.
Okay. So one night, Margie went out with her girlfriends to a country western bar.
Love it.
I know, love it. Okay. Country western, though, was not particularly Margie's scene. But there was one gentleman at the bar who was not wearing western wear. He was just wearing a white t-shirt and jeans.
Love it.
That's a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His I like name black was... t-shirt and jeans better, but
oh yeah,
I'll take
oh,
white too.
Okay. This guy's name was Sean Paul. He was originally from New Zealand.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Margie immediately found him handsome and charming. He wasn't like my type at all, but everyone that describes him says he was super handsome. And what do I know? I don't think that John Legend is sexy, and he's the sexiest man alive.
I don't think most people think he's sexy.
We've talked about that. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So after they dance the night away, Margie and Sean exchange numbers and start talking on the phone every night. You know, girls like Margie eat that shit up, those late night conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not that conversational either.
I liked when I was in high school and college and people, we would like fall asleep on the phone.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Boy.
Are you kidding me? And now I just want to sleep. Yeah. Okay. So Sean and Margie shared their life stories with each other, as you do when you're feeling somebody, catching feelings in the beginning. Sean had a really sad story, though. Sean's parents and siblings had all been killed in a plane crash.
Oh.
Yeah. For anyone, but particularly someone like Margie, this kind of made Sean more endearing. She's like the real soft-spoken, motherly type, you know?
And his accent probably really played on those heartstrings.
Right. So the relationship with Sean and Margie progressed, and the two went on several romantic dates. They had not been dating very long, and Sean took Margie to the gym where he liked to work out. He told her that he thought her and the girls should join the gym too, and that he would pay for it. And she was like, yeah, easy tiger. We've only been seeing each other a few weeks, and she had only been divorced a year. And she wasn't comfortable with another man paying for her life like that. Plus, you know, you got to tread carefully about, like, joining a gym for your woman. Like, is that a hint?
Oh, my gosh. Can we just, like, side note really quick?
Yeah.
Did you hear about this Peloton ad?
Yes, I did.
People are up in arms about it because this guy gives his girlfriend or wife a Peloton, right? And she, did you watch the video?
Yeah.
And she goes on it for a year and says, like, she's so thankful that he gave it to her. And they're saying that it's, like, so sexist, right? Like, to give that. I didn't think it was so bad. I thought, dude, if my husband gives me a $2,500 exercise bike plus pays the $50 a month that it costs to run the bike, pretty nice gift.
Yeah.
No?
Your husband did. That's okay. Why you're locking the door on Saturday mornings.
I do have a Peloton.
Yeah.
He did give it to me as a gift.
Do you maybe use that's it ever? Why. I haven't heard you talk about it in a long time.
Oh, I do use it. Not as much as I should. I need to get back into it. I love it. I do love it. I just, it's one of those things you need to have the motivation to get on the exercise bike.
Yeah.
But okay. So joining a gym.
Joining a gym. So she told him no. And he insisted and said he would also like to buy them all new gym clothes. And she felt like he was being way too pushy and she was really turned off by it. She also said he was getting a little aggro about it. And that was the first time she had seen that side of him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I can relate to Margie in this situation. I hated it when guys came on too strong back when I was dating, you know, when they were like, I like you a lot. I didn't like that.
You like the hard to get type.
Yeah. I liked the jerks.
You like the challenge.
Uh-huh.
You want to change them. You want to mm-hmm. make them a better person.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord she
for
met
Jeremiah. Oh, yes. God. Yes. We were friends first. That's how he won me over. But yeah, no, normally I did not like that nice guy thing. Okay. So Margie started giving Sean the cold shoulder. And he took that in a real strange way. A few days after the incident at the gym, Margie came home to find that Sean had broken into her house.
What?
Yeah, and left new gym outfits hanging up for her and her daughters.
Weird.
Creepy, right? So she calls him immediately and says, like, what the fuck? He told her, what is the big deal? He had just broken in through the kitchen window and he just wanted to surprise her. Margie's gut told her it was time to end things with Sean, and she did. She told him it was all too much. Apparently, he'd also been like inundating her with flowers and gifts. So she told him she just needed a break. Everything went back to normal, and she thought she had dodged a creep bullet before she got too invested in the relationship, until a few weeks later, Sean left her a note at her house saying that she needed to call him back and it was urgent. So Margie gets roped in again on account of Sean telling her his daughter was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious. Margie being Margie could not help but getting sucked back in. Here she is thinking he's already lost his whole family in a plane crash and now losing his daughter. Margie sympathized with this, imagining it must be unbearable. So she went to go see him at his apartment. And when he came to the door, she says something really bothered her about how angry he seemed, and her gut instinct was not to go inside, and she didn't. But when he called her a few days later talking about sending his daughter's body back to New Zealand, she got sucked back into the drama. They started talking on the phone again regularly, and that led to them seeing each other again regularly. Margie and Sean continued to date each other for another year.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And according to Margie, there weren't any more giant red flags during this time. And she no longer had the like nagging, he's probably a creep vibe. So after dating a year, Sean proposed to Margie and she accepted.
Mm-hmm.
The two married, and at Sean's insistence, they merged finances. Sean took over the bills, and Margie was fine with that. She trusted her new husband so much that she signed everything he put in front of her without giving it a second look. Okay?
Okay.
Listen. We can all take a lesson from Teresa Giudice. Giudice. You know who that is, Tab? You don't watch The Real Housewives of
Jersey. No, I know who she is. Listen. And I know she went to jail.
Do not be signing everything, anything that your husband puts in front of you without reading it.
Really?
I'm sure you do that.
I may be guilty of that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Maybe all the time.
Yeah.
I trust my husband that much.
Well, that's great. But
and he's a real good person. He would never.
He is a real good person. Yeah, I get
commit it. Any fraud.
But when you're like, let's say you are like a single mother with three daughters, newly married, and you've built your business.
I would not.
You cannot.
No, I will not.
No, 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 no. Okay. Maybe trust your husband on your first marriage, but I don't think you ever trust him on the second marriage, right?
No, I don't think so.
No. So these two are living in second marriage marital bliss. Things were probably totally hot. I mean, from what I can tell, the girl's father shared custody. So.
What is one lesson you learned the hard way? Let me tell you, in my early years, it was overspending, credit cards, and simply not putting my money where it could grow. You've heard us talk about Acorns before, and today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news is, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you have is spare change. Honestly, you don't need a lot of time to set up. 5 minutes and you are on the road to your future. Currently, Kyla, my daughter, is looking into her future and the ways to make her money grow. You know, a car is right around the corner for this teenager. So teaching her the ways to invest with Acorns is making it so easy for us. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorn app today to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. April is Financial Literacy Month, the perfect time to start teaching your kids the value of money. And Acorns Early makes it easy with their Smart Money app and debit card for kids. Acorns Early Chores Tracker teaches kids that hard work pays off. You just set up their tasks, payment amount, tick off the chores when they're done, and boom, they've got money in their card. Saving goals help kids turn savings into habit. Kids get a new sense of independence when they spend what they earn with their very own debit card. Plus, kids can build up their money knowledge and their confidence with bite-sized financial lessons. Parents keep track of when and where their kids are spending, get real-time spending notifications. You know, it's a great, great thing. We do it for our kids. I actually am just going to start setting it up for my youngest, but Kyla loves it. She feels very like a grown-up, you know what I mean? But we still have control over what's going on. And it's a great way for her to start saving for a car, like I told you guys she was doing last time I talked about Acorns. Are you ready to help your kids grow money skills that will last a lifetime? Head to acornsearly.com/clink or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Sign up now and your first month is on us. Again, that's acornsearly.com/clink. Acorns Early card is issued by Community Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC, pursuant to license by MasterCard International. TNCs apply. Monthly subscription fee starting at $5 per month unless canceled.
Listeners, if you're a parent and your child always has questions on their homework, like mine, and you don't feel equipped to answer them, like me, and you want to save money on private tutoring, who doesn't? Then iXL is right for your family. iXL is an online learning program for kids that can be used on your computer, your phone, or your tablet with the app. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. I love it because of the way the program is designed to help kids really understand and master topics. It's so adaptive. So as your kid uses it, the program figures out what your kid needs more help with. Then it recommends more topics to practice and helps them build any missing foundations and take on challenges when they're ready. iXL is backed by research and it shows wherever you may be, from California to Florida to Kansas to Hawaii. The research is clear. When kids use this program, they get better test scores. Kids are smart. They may just need more support outside of school. Give them that extra help they deserve with iXL. If your child is struggling, this is a smart investment that you can make for them. Membership starts at only $9.95 a month. I love the value of iXL and how simple it is now for me to find the specific help my kids need. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iXL now. And Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off iXL membership when they sign up today at iXL.com/today. Visit iXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Every other week they weren't there.
Yeah, so they have like lots of date nights probably, yeah. Right? So all is good until one night, one of Margie's girlfriends calls her up and tells her about a new television show. And guess what it was?
What? Hallmark.
No, it was America's Most Wanted.
Oh, shut the front door. He's on it.
Yeah.
No way.
She thought Margie probably ought to tune in because a man featured on the show that was wanted for murder looked an awful lot like Margie's new husband.
Oh, my God.
So Margie turns on the television and she does see a resemblance to the wanted man, but she doesn't think it could be her, Sean Paul.
Is it? I mean, what's his name? You know?
Yes, I do know. that wasn't even this guy's name. His name was Paul Stephen Mack. And he was wanted for murder in Sacramento, California. And Hirshon Paul was from New Zealand.
This guy, he had a fake accent.
So
the whole time, how would you fake that?
I don't know. So she was pretty positive her friend had it wrong. Okay. So what do you think she did?
Asked him.
No, she did not ask him. And she did not call the police.
She might be murdered if she asked him.
Yeah. So she decided to look through some paperwork that he had at the house to verify that he was who he said he was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty smart.
So she goes snooping. Side note, can you believe that they've been together for like over a year?
And he's talking and married in his for New weeks, Zealand accent?
And this is the first time she snooped? I mean, come on.
No.
No. Snoop right away.
Snoop, snoop-a-doop.
Okay. Okay. So when she went snooping, what she found was some documents about his daughter's death, but the dates on the documents were wrong and none of the documents had like any state seals. And she was with it enough to know that these were fake documents. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Margie thought to herself, well, that's weird that these documents are obviously fake. I wonder why he has fake documents. So for sure you think at this point she called the police, right?
I mean, if you think your husband's on America's Most Wanted.
No.
I mean, she's telling herself, I understand. She's trying to tell herself that this cannot be true.
Right. Okay, so she waited for him to come home and then she confronts him.
Oh.
She says, what's up with the fake documents? And he is really quick to explain it all away. He told her that, oh, the hospital must have mixed things up. And he actually called the hospital in front of Margie. And she recalls that they told him that if he sent them a letter with proof, they would make changes to any mistakes on his documents. So you probably think Margie was like, okay, show me the proof you are going to send the hospital so you have legit documentation. But no, she did not do this. She thought seeing him call the hospital in front of her was enough. So she just...
He could just be calling anybody.
He probably... It was probably like a freaking rotary dial phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she just let it go and went back to business as usual. But as time went on, she began to have a nagging feeling that something did not add up about Sean's past. And there was still this weird thing about his resemblance to the guy on America's Most Wanted in the back of her head. So
I've gone back real far in documents, not just the first thing that you open.
Right? So she decided to hire a private investigator.
Okay, I like that idea.
Okay. So the PI told her he charged $1,500 and he needed Sean's social security number to investigate him. Like, that's a lot of money. And it's a lot of money now. And in 1988, that's a lot of money. Okay. So Margie's in a bit of a pickle because remember, she gave Sean control of her finances.
Yeah, so how does she get that money out? You know how she gets it out?
I'm going to tell you something. She did something very out of character. She lied to him. She told him that...
To
get the money.
The husband.
Yeah, to her husband.
But you know what you can do?
What?
Just side note real quick.
Yeah.
When you go to the grocery store, if your husband gives you like, I don't know, $200 a week for groceries.
Yeah.
You can... Or say they don't... Yeah, so whatever. If you have any kind of allowance, you can just get those gift cards, like this American Express gift card, and then they wouldn't even know that you spent it on like a credit card for yourself.
Oh, interesting.
And you can start adding
those up. I like the way
up.
Your shady brain thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she told him that her friend needed surgery. And that she needed to help him out.
Oh, well, that's nice, kind-hearted.
Yeah. Well, and he agreed.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did. He agreed. So next, she needed his social security number. So she waited until he fell asleep, and then she snuck into his wallet, to look for his social security card, which is like so weird. Remember, people used to like carry them around with them.
I know, it's really weird. Do you know when you get the new California ID, the real ID, you have to have your social security card? So
we got to talk about that later because I don't even know how to deal with that.
Okay. We'll talk about later.
Anyways, while she's in his wallet, she finds two social security numbers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Both with his name on it?
No. So she copied down both numbers.
Okay.
Okay. She gave the numbers and the $1,500 to the private investigator, and he got back to her right away and told her, guess what? Those social security numbers you gave me both belong to dead people.
Ooh.
Yeah. I hope that this private investigator gave her her $1,500 back, because as far as I can tell, this is like all he did for her.
That's okay. All he did? Run those numbers? I'm you could do sure. that yourself.
Yeah. So anyways, you think Margie called the police now, right?
I would hope so.
No, she didn't. She waited for Sean to get home, and then she said, hey, honey, your work called. And they said they needed your social security number, so I went into your wallet and I found two cards. And Sean told her, well, sometimes I carry my sons with me. And he also told her something like, woman, you best start staying out of my business. I'm getting real annoyed with this shit.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, and he gathered up all of his papers and he put them in a locked briefcase.
She's an idiot.
Yeah, well, she knew the combination.
She's not that much of an idiot, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. She felt like there was some kind of mystery that she needed to uncover about Sean's past. And it must be in those papers because he did not want her anywhere near them. Okay. So when Sean was gone, Margie opened the briefcase and took pictures of all his documents with her film camera. Right. So 1988, right? Like she probably took him to like a photo mat in the Kmart parking lot to get developed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
If you're too young to know what that is, Google photo mat. So while she's waiting to get her film developed and figure things out, she's starting to get a little creeped out and scared. She thinks Sean might be onto her being suspicious of him, and it's making her nervous, but she does her best to keep up the charade that all is good and nothing is weird about things not adding up about your life story and your whole family is dead, so no one can verify anything about your past and you strongly resemble someone that is wanted for murder on America's Most Wanted. It's, okay. And she's also sort of seen glimpses of him being aggro and creepy. But she's playing it cool. Okay. She's keeping up the charade, but not to the point where she was going to like lock the door on a Saturday morning. Okay.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
She was over that until she got some answers. So she pulled the I got a headache card. Okay.
Lots of headaches.
Right. So Sean was like sick of that. And he said, guess what, baby? I got a pill for that. And she really didn't want to take it, but she did.
The pill?
Yeah.
The Advil?
Yeah.
In quotation?
Yeah. And whatever it is, it made her violently ill and confused. From her drug days, she remembers him picking her up off the bathroom floor and putting her in bed and momentarily feeling like, oh, he's like taking care of me and feeling like it was going to be okay. But then she remembers like kind of coming in and out of consciousness and realized that he was on top of her, raping her. She said she was terrified because it was happening and she felt paralyzed. She says she couldn't even scream. She had no control. So
what was it? A roofie?
I don't know. And she never like...
She didn't go to the police again?
No. And well, eventually she kind of does, but she didn't report this.
Not that.
Yeah.
Moment.
But this coming in and out of consciousness and feeling like you have no control of your body. I mean, this is like symptomatic of every other rapist that we've talked about. Danny Masterson, Lester, yes. Like everybody describes the same thing. So when she woke up in the morning, she was left with this crazy recollection of the night, and she was bruised and sore and angry. So yeah. She goes downstairs, and just like every other morning before Sean would leave for the day, he drank a glass of orange juice. And you know what he did with that glass?
What?
He left it on the table.
Every morning?
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, yeah. There is not a man out there that knows how to put a dish in the sink.
True.
I don't think. Okay. So she got an idea. She remembers that the police can get fingerprint information off of glassware. So she took out some rubber gloves and a plastic bag and carefully put the bag, the glass in the bag. And she took it down to the police station.
Finally.
Finally.
Jeez, amen, Louise. Right?
She told the police that she doesn't think her husband is who he says he is. She says that at the time, she was worried that they would not take her seriously and that they would just think she was like some overbearing wife.
Cuckoo bananas.
Yeah. So at this point, I want to say that I think it's really sad that often as women, we are conditioned not to trust ourselves and speak up. And I know I've been throwing some shade at Margie for so blindly trusting Sean Paul, but I am emphasizing all the times that she acted so naively because I just think it's important for all of us to trust our own feelings and with our partners to like trust but verify. Margie made the same kind of mistakes that many of us have made at one point in our lives. I certainly have, like, really, okay? And I think her sharing her story and including all the mistakes that she made along the way, so honestly, is incredibly brave. She wrote a book about it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes her sound real dumb. So it's real brave.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that movie too, In Plain Sight or...
Oh, Abducted in Plain Sight. Yeah. I know. People throw so much shade at that dude. And I'm like, no, I think it's
real brave. Listen, they came out.
And we're all going to learn from it. Yeah.
It's true.
Okay. So back to the police station where Margie thinks the police won't take her seriously. She was wrong. They took her very seriously. They ran the fingerprints from the glass she brought with her, and they told her her husband was Paul Stephen Mack from America's Most Wanted. They told her in depth about his crimes, and I looked them up, so I'm going to tell you about what a sick fucker Paul Stephen Mack is.
I want to hear.
Okay.
Listeners, has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, and yet your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere like a twist in a crime story you didn't see coming? I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one criminal mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. No need for a long, deep dive investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. Answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. So check out Happy Mammoth, the creators of Hormone Harmony, because they are dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. According to a survey, 86% of women started losing weight, 77% said it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit, 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CLINK for 15% off today. The struggle to lose weight is real, and I am all about the help wherever I can get it. How about y'all? Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compound semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable and science-backed way. Getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. You guys, I am loving my NAD Plus and Metformin that I receive from Effecty. For me, the combo has been the jumpstart I needed to start the weight loss train and feel better while doing it. Are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's Effecty.com. EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
You remember when Gretchen talked about True Diagnostics' True Age test? It's a test that basically tells you if your actual age matches your bio age, like how fast our bodies and all our important stuff inside is aging. Well, I found out my biological age, which directly predicts my risk for serious disease. Here's why it matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer and heart disease can jump up as much as 30 to 50%. And that's a big freaking deal. And it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of our biological aging is in our hands. Yes, it's driven by the lifestyle we lead, you guys. The habits we have, the alcohol, all that stuff, the environments that you live in, which means we actually have a lot of control over it. I have been really diving into my health lately, and after this test, it has just confirmed that I want to stick with making those healthy choices so I can live longer and better. The test is super easy. It comes in the mail. It's a little finger prick. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, you have your results. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code CLINK to get 25% off your entire order or subscription. That's True Diagnostic, TRUDiagnostic.com. So TRUDiagnostic. Use our show CLINK at checkout for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
He first got on police radar after he was suspected of strangling a 19-year-old, Annette Huddle, whose body he left floating in a river. There wasn't enough evidence to connect him, so although he was strongly suspected, he was never charged with that murder. The next time he was wanted by police was when he poisoned, raped, and stuffed the body of Karen Winslet in a car and left the body stuffed in the car in a motel parking lot. After that murder, he fled from Sacramento to Utah. So reading through the case against Paul Stephen Mack for the murder of Karen Winslet, a couple of things stood out to me. Mm-hmm. First of all, how he roped this poor young girl in was he told her he was a photographer and he was going to pay her $5,000 for a photo shoot. According to her fiance, she was really excited about this. Next, what he drugged her with was Percodan, which is unusual because that's like not your typical date rape drug. But according to her autopsy, she had more than 25 times the normal amount in her system.
Whoa.
And this is what the coroner's ruled was actually her cause of death.
Overdose.
Yeah. Where he got the Percodan is also interesting. He was getting a prescription refilled regularly from his dentist.
Tooth pain. Is Percodan, it's like
yeah,
Percocet?
Like get a root canal. Like how many times can a dentist like refill your Percodan prescription?
Let me tell you.
There's some shady story there.
I knew somebody that always had tooth pain also to get Vicodin.
Don't they just make you come in?
You would think.
You would think, right? Okay. Also, his barber testified at the trial. Apparently, he missed his standing appointment the day of the murder. Apparently, he had a standing appointment 5 days a week. So, to get his hair done. So, I took a real good look at his hair.
Oh, that's so weird.
So weird, right? Yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, it looks like he got his mullet fluffed.
Maybe he got a shave. You know, they shave at the barber too.
I mean, yeah.
There was something else going at the barber.
5 days a week.
You're not getting your hair done.
It's high maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something else going on at the barber shop.
Mm-hmm. There's something else that is actually really tragic, and that is that Karen Winslet left a note for her fiance saying that she was going on a photo shoot and she was scared to go alone and she wished that he could have gone with her.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She had this intuition, and it sucks because there's so many times where we all have these intuitions and we just, you know, most of the time they're false, right? But maybe
we could have been that dumb when we were 20 and someone said they were going to pay us $5,000. We would have been like, of course they want to, because we're young and cute.
We're cute.
And yeah. Oh, and you know, you can't go with me. Well, I still want to go.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to trust your gut.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
So sad. Okay, so back at the police station, Margie is learning all about Paul Stephen Mack's real history, and police tell her they want her to go get her children and get out of town. They tell her it will take them all night to get a team together to come and arrest him, which I don't really get.
First of all, they have to get a warrant for his arrest at the location. They have to probably put a SWAT team together because he's on America's Most Wanted. They don't want to. They need to do everything right in order for them to convict him so that he doesn't get off on some crazy, you know, mishap.
Well, yeah. So that's a situation. So Margie sent her daughters to their father's house for the night, but she argued with the police that if she didn't go home for the night and act normal, that he would suspect something and probably run away before they could get him. And so that's what she did. She went home and did her best to act normal. And she said she went to bed first. And she said, of course, she did not sleep like at all. And she could feel him just standing over her, watching her.
Why?
He was probably suspicious. I mean, she's been, you know, snooping around and.
Oh, yeah. And she sent her kids away.
Hello. He just like violently raped her. And she's acting like, oh, everything's normal.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. She's catching on to me. Yeah. So at 6 a.m., the police came and banged on the door. And wouldn't you know, when Paul Stephen Mack heard that loud early morning knock, he did not go downstairs and see who it was. He just put some pants on and jumped out the freaking window.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he got away. He led police a high-speed chase for a while, and they finally cut him off, and he couldn't escape, and he was finally taken into custody. So Margie was relieved, but unfortunately, the nightmare was not over for her. When she was able to start putting the pieces of her life back together, she discovered that he had ruined her financially.
Well, that's no surprise.
No surprise. And on top of that, Paul Stephen Mack continued to call her from jail, telling her he's innocent and he's coming back as soon as he gets this all cleared up.
Oh my God.
Right?
Change your number. Move.
Right?
Change your name.
Right. I don't know when it was when you could first like block somebody's number.
I have no idea actually, but remember there was like star 69. So there had to have been like a block, something to block somebody.
I don't know. Okay. So Margie says she was scared throughout the duration of the trial because he's so charming and convincing, and she was not sure that a jury would be able to convict him. But thankfully, they did. She was relieved that 3 years after meeting Paul Stephen Mack, he was sentenced to 27 years to life for the rape and murder of Karen Winslet. So after sentencing, Margie wanted some closure for herself. So she went down to the jail to speak to him face to face. And she looked him in the eye and told him she knows what he did and leave her alone. She said in response, he told her, no matter what, I am going to come back and see you one last time.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. So the first time he was eligible for parole was in 2013, and it was denied. And Margie said she spoke to the parole board and told them she was certain if he was released, he would kill again, and he was successfully denied parole. Since then, I found an article in the Sacramento Bee that was from 2017, and it said he was currently serving his time at the state prison in Stockton. Mm-hmm. I looked up his inmate status, and I couldn't find anything current. So he's either been released or dead. I couldn't find him on any like sex offenders list, though. So I think he's dead. It's real hard to find out if someone's dead.
It is?
Yeah. It's not like you can just go to like california.gov and
type in there
who died. You have to like request a death certificate. I didn't have time to do all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So as for Margie and her girls, I could not find them either. I mean, I'm thinking maybe they, you know, they changed their names and shit.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. That would be smart. I just hope that they are wiped off of social media for reasons other than they have someone on the loose that they are afraid of. I mean, he would be like almost 70 now. So hopefully he's dead. And like I told you, she wrote a book in 2000 about her story, and it's called Tainted Roses.
Tainted Roses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that is a crazy story. I'm glad that nobody died, Gretchy.
Well, two girls did die.
Okay, sorry. Not Margie, Margie or her daughter.
Margie didn't die and her daughters. Yeah. But, you know what's crazy is she told her daughters like that next day after he got arrested, She sat them down and said, hey, stepdaddy.
Murdered somebody. You know, this guy, I think you have to have 3 murders to be considered a serial killer. But I bet you he was on the way to killing her, Margie.
Oh, for sure. And I'll bet he had probably gotten away with another. There's probably more.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I have this weird sneaking suspicion that maybe he didn't just kill just 2 girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a creep.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they give him only 27 to life? Hello. It needed to be life in prison.
Life and life.
That's it.
I know.
And was he not ever convicted for raping her?
He was convicted for rape and murder. Yeah.
No, but not
he only got 27 to life because they ruled the cause of death was the poisoning from the Percodan. So it wasn't like he stabbed her to death or something. He might not have intentionally killed her, but once she was dead after he raped her, he shoved her body in a trunk and abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But weird. Still.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a interesting story, Gretch. Thanks for that. I'm glad they found him. America's Most Wanted. Could you imagine getting that call? Hello, your husband is.
I missed that show.
It's not still on?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. I don't think it's on anymore. Shout outs.
We have some shout outs.
We have a lot of shout outs.
Michigan Chrissy, best podcast ever.
Oh, God bless ya.
That's so nice. She says she gets in her car in the morning with her coffee and listens to stories. Well, thank goodness we drink coffee daily too. Brooke, 052718, great podcast. They tell great stories and a good job on their research and fun to listen to. Well, thank you for listening. Stacy from Alabama. It's her favorite podcast. Oh,
it better Stace. Be. Thanks, Stace.
It only took you like 8 months.
Oh, yeah. And this one, too. Rebecca Balmer.
Rebecca, thanks for always being such an amazing listener.
Yeah.
Idaho Heidi.
Idaho, Utaho Heidi.
Idaho. She loves these ladies. Thanks. Gretchy and Tabs. Fun to listen to. It's like chatting with your besties. Well, you're our bestie too, Heidi.
Kayla Morey.
What?
Kayla Morey.
Kayla Morey. Everybody calls Kyla my daughter, Kayla. It's a good name. We're funny.
Edibulus.
Edibulus. Love this show. Did we do that one yet?
Thanks. No, I don't think so.
And ZKB12.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for great. Awesome.
Twin Mama. Another Twin Mama.
Twin Mama.
I love that. Do we have more? Trilivy? Yeah.
Trilivy, I think.
And we did a Silva already, yeah?
Maybe not. But anyways, a Silva. You guys, thanks for the review.
Those are awesome reviews. If you haven't reviewed us yet, please do. We want to get up on the charts. And the only way to do it is get reviews.
Yeah, thanks.
And listens and downloads. And if you guys want to hear more of us, we're on Himalaya. Download the app and become a member and use code Housewives for your first month free. And it's $4.99 after that.
And you get to hear us spill our guts. You get a bonus crime every month.
Yes, we spill our guts every week and then we can give you a bonus crime.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is fun.
It's light and light. Mm-hmm. Light and light. Mm-hmm. That's it. Clink, clink, guys.
Clink, clink.
Guys, I have two podcasts to recommend this week. Both of them are a little deeper, not so lighthearted as ours, but I know you guys like that sometimes. So I wanted to tell you about Invisible Choir, like a singing choir. They go into pretty heinous murders and they do a more investigative storytelling using audio, victim testimonials, and they bring voices to the voiceless and visibility to the invisible. Check them out, Invisible Choir. Also, another one is called Morbidology. This one also goes real deep into very heinous murders. So if you're into that type of thing, check them out. It's called Morbidology. Emily Thompson also does some investigative research, combining 911 calls, interviews, and trial testimony to take a real deep dive into these crazy, crazy cases. So check that out if you guys are interested in more.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.